It's the Raven and the Blues on BFBS Radio 2, on Skybird Radio, on the east coast of the USA, and of course it's a podcast on an MP3 player of your choice, pretty close to your earphones. Live guests time, and unusually for us, we've gone electric, and not just electric with a small box, but in fact a three-piece. Somebody I've been waiting to talk to for, it must be 9 months since your father made contact in September of last year and said, my young son, he's good-looking, talented, and very skilled at the blues, and you really must hear him. He's been in regular contact ever since, and watching your career development, your path of progress, so to speak, from 9 months ago in September when you'd just come back from the States and done a festival, and now you've just come to us from doing Paul Jones at the BBC. Ollie Brown, welcome to the show. Has it been a mercurial, massive 9 months?
It's been pretty intense. It's getting quite heavy with college, kind of coming towards an end, A-levels all coming across. But it's good fun. We're looking forward to kind of next year when we can actually do more with our music and things and go different places.
So, well, you mentioned college, so the blues is not a full-time living yet.
Well, it is. College is kind of more of a side thing right now.
Right.
Which isn't going very well.
For those who haven't followed and haven't sort of followed the links on the website, what I haven't given away is your age. You were 16, still 16 or 17 now?
I'm 17.
17. So old. So much more experience. And when did you start playing?
5 years ago now, I've been kind of studying quite heavy on the guitar.
Mm-hmm. And always blues?
It kind of went, I was kind of started kind of a bit of a rockier stage, kind of slightly heavier, but then just as soon as I started hearing, listening to the blues and things, just came from that and I loved it.
Was that from some sort of family influence? Is your father or your mother influence people? Or?
My dad plays a lot of blues and things. My teacher kind of pushed me to do some kind of like solos and things. Kind of Hendrix was the first kind of solos I was learning. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of sparked off to kind of Stevie Ray.
I think Stevie Ray hits everybody, don't
I? I think he does.
Yes. What about the older blues guys? I mean, do you go back and are you influenced by some of the old Elmore and Muddy Waters type things?
Yeah, I mean, Freddie King, kind of B.B. King. I'm trying to spread different styles because I've tried to taught myself so much Stevie Ray that it's kind of getting too much of a Stevie Ray style now. So I've gone back to kind of like Freddie King and getting some influences off them. They're just as fantastic.
And what about you? I mean, are you, especially with the stuff you've done in the last 9 months, with the various concerts, the travelling you've done and the various live sets, are you finding that there's more of you coming out?
It's kind of a lot more stage confidence and kind of enjoying the... I love playing live and things. It's just so entertaining, kind of getting a vibe off the crowd and things. It just gives such a great buzz. And so it's kind of... I'm building my kind of live performance and we're trying to make kind of more interesting things we can do live.
You've got so many bits on YouTube as well for a guy who hasn't yet got an album out.
Which it's getting ready now.
Really?
Yeah, we've been recording a 9-track at a place called Tube Station Studios. It's just outside Norwich and we've just been recording there and it's been going fantastic. We've just got a few more final touches to do and it should be ready.
Okay, because we've only, I think, played a couple of tracks on the Raven and the Blues in the last 9 months. Let's do something live. What are we going to start with?
We're going to start with a song called Shade of Grey. Looking at the world, it's a shade of gray. Bad things happening day by day. People keep on talking, forgetting the consequences, and everything is going wrong. Promises they can't keep, losing our freedom of speech. It's going on for way too long. When we try to fight it, they bring us down. They say we got the whole thing wrong. I can't stand it. Can you understand it? Why keep on letting slip away? No, I can't stand it. Can you understand it? Why keep on letting slip away? Time after time, why do we keep believing? Lie after lie, is there any meaning? people believe what they hear and do as they're told. Nothing ever changes. I believe that we have more to give than we think, so keep on trying. I can take it, and you explain to me why I keep on letting it slip away. No, I can take it, and you explain to me why I keep on letting it slip away. Time after time, why do we keep believing? Lie after lie, tell me what is the meaning? Lie after lie, is there any reason? Yeah. You say to me it's alright, nothing wrong, it's all fine. See right through your lies, see right through your lies. You say to me it's alright, nothing's wrong, it's all fine. You see right through your lies, you see right through your eyes. Time after time, why do we keep believing? Lie after lie, tell me what is the reason. Time after time, why do we keep believing? Lie after lie, is there any reason?
Raven and the Blues on BFBS Radio 2, and you're listening to Ollie Brown. Ollie Brown and band, is this the regular members, so to speak, or do you just have different people who come and join you at different times?
No, this is the regular members. They've been playing me for about, well, we started about 12 weeks ago now.
Oh, right. It's recent as that.
Yeah, we've been playing hard, you know, usually practicing kind of two days a week, trying to kind of make sure we're tight enough and things.
Yeah. And just the band, who's on bass?
Listen, well, Fred Hollis on bass, he's playing a six-string kind of funk jazz kind of thing. It's a nice groove to add kind of to blues. We're trying to get this different kind of sound and the way he kind of plays some of the jazz.
And how did you and Fred get together?
Well, it was because of Simon Dring, the drummer. Well, I met. I was searching around for musicians at blues nights and went. Well, I found Simon at a jam night. Mm-hmm. And I heard him and I was really keen as playing and his shuffle was fantastic and I really wanted to get on stage with him. So I played with him. And we talked about it, and we talked about kind of forming a band and things, maybe as a possibility. And he asked if he knew a bass player, and they talked about Fred. And eventually, after kind of about a month or so of talking about it, we decided to get to it. And I met with Fred, and we jammed together at a jam night. It was the first time Fred ever played bass. So I was saying, quick change in C, and his face just dropped all of a sudden. Oh, sorry, yeah, blues bass.
Yes, right, yeah.
Not the first.
Yeah.
But and so his face kind of dropped all of a sudden and it's a quick change, but then he kind of came back and came up with all these kind of blues things or blues lines and things.
So is this going to form the nucleus now really of the Ollie Brown band, is it?
Yeah, this is what we're starting with, you know, maybe build on later, but right now we're just trying to like kind of feel each other and things.
How did you, I think it was when your father Graham made contact, you'd just come from doing something in America. Now, how would you manage to get that first gig across in a big blues festival in the States?
It was because of, because we were speaking to a man named Carl Gustafson, and he was kind of head of this band called Blind Dog Smoking, and we spoke to him for quite some time, about 2 years before anything happened, and we sent a video of me playing, and then he just asked me, he said he saw something and asked me if I wanted to go and join them on tour and get a proper experience.
And what, just you and family, basically?
No, it was all by myself.
Just you?
Yeah, all by myself. I never really properly jammed. So I got there on stage and they said something in C, something in A. Yeah, it's kind of learning on the spot.
Yes.
Which was fantastic. It was good learning pressure.
And got rave reviews as well.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was such a great experience.
And was it that original festival that gave the word of mouth, which then kind of snowballed and mushroomed and developed the way it has?
It's kind of lots of things, really. I mean, I think the America tour helped a lot, saying that it kind of toured America. It's kind of building more interest in things. And then promoting as much as I can, really, trying to find different places to play, different kind of articles and things. But you
have a list of the great and the good in the blues hierarchy. You've said, Ollie, can you come and play with us?
Yeah, it's building. It's building more, hopefully. We'll
just go through some of the people who you've jammed with or we've been on stage with.
I've been on stage with Paul Jones, mm-hmm. John Mayle. I've been in the same lineup as Buddy Guy and Taj Mahal.
Yes.
Thinking of all these people on the spot. Eric Sladinas, played with him. And played in the same line as a guy called Chris Duarte. He's more known in kind of the American area, but yes. he's a fantastic kind of Texas blues player, and he's just an awesome player.
Most of the guys you've mentioned are of an age, basically.
Yeah.
How do they feel about you taking the stage, and you're probably younger than their children? In fact, you will be younger than their children. So
they're really nice. They're really humble guys. I really enjoyed that. Had a nice time speaking to them. Enjoyed the company, kind of. Bugged them, asked them loads of questions about the blues, making sure I kind of learned whatever I could off them.
And what have they said to you? Ollie, you'll never make a living at it? Or?
I think the first thing that all of them said to me is, you know, play from the heart.
Yes.
That's just a key thing, and I've always made sure I listen to what they say.
It's not a genre which makes you rich, necessarily.
No, it's more because, I like other genres of music, but playing this one, there's so much kind of emotional involvement in playing it. All the soul and the feeling you can get from playing it. I never kind of heard such soul come out of a song.
I forget who it was that said, but somebody said, you have to have suffered to have played the blues. Now, by the sound of things and where you come from in the UK, I don't think there's been a lot of suffering.
Well, you know, the suffering slowly kind of gaining.
Is it?
The suffering of college and disagreements with teachers and... There, I haven't really had an ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, so there's going to be some lost loves along the way you can talk about. Yes.
Yeah, I'll slowly progress and I'll slowly kind of have more bad stories to talk about.
Yeah, but in terms of writing, though, I mean, does that make it difficult to write at this stage with, if you like, not so much lack of experience, but lack of the trials of life behind you?
It's not been too difficult. I mean, we've been writing kind of quite a lot of originals. I mean, one of our ones is about kind of getting a new pair of shoes. And I mean, this the one that we just played there is about just kind of, it's got more of a deeper kind of meaning to it. But it's not been too bad writing songs. I mean, lyrically sometimes we can struggle because we haven't got that major kind of bad experience on the road kind of thing.
So the tune comes first and the words afterwards, you mean?
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay, let's have another tune.
Okay, this song is New Groove. Crocodile skin, cool as in. silk shirt. Feeling better than I did before. Nothing can bring me down anymore. Got my new groove on. Got my smile, got my moves. Everything seems a bright shade on you. Get on down, do my thing. Slide all you to a new blue scene. Feeling better than I did before. Nothing can bring me down anymore. Got my new groove on. Got control over what I do. Don't care what people say, 'cause I got my new groove on. Can't bring me down anymore. Got my new groove, feeling better than I did before. Nothing can bring me down anymore. Got my new groove, got my new groove, got my new groove on.
My new groove on, which I guess is going to be on the first album, is it?
Yeah, it is. it's the name of the album as well.
Is it?
New groove.
Oh, I see. So you've got the album title all done and all that's kind of sorted then, really. It's just all the tracks mixed down and everything? Or
It just needs a bit more finalising. There's a couple of things we missed out, but it should be ready.
And are you being kind of proactive? Are you sort of being responsible for all of this? You're hands-on all the time, or are you handing over to other guys who sort of for the mix down and things?
We kind of have our own kind of suggestion. We kind of, you know, we let the guy have his own opinion, but we tend to try and stick with our kind of ideas.
So it's kind of the way you hear it in your head is the way you want it on the album.
Yeah.
And in terms of gigging and things, I mean, obviously, from what I've seen so far, you've done a fair amount of live performances, mostly, I guess, in your home region. Is that right?
Yeah, we haven't spread too far because of college and things. We've been quite tied down. But we're beginning to spread a bit more. We've got some gigs coming up soon, which are quite more fast spread.
And what about festivals and things? Have you got anything lined up for that?
Because it was kind of later on in the year, we've been booking gigs and things, it's been hard to find festivals and spread our name because we've only really just started.
Yes.
And haven't been playing for very long. But the soonest festival we're playing in is Leeds, I think it's next week. And then I think we've got another festival later on. I'm not too sure where the locations are.
Right.
I'm not very good with gigs.
So you can be flexible enough to be able to cope with things that suddenly come out of the blue or whatever, can you?
Yeah. We're ready for them. I mean, with, I mean, other commitments, because we've only just started, it's hard, because I mean like, these guys have got other commitments with like other bands,
right?
But next year may be different, we don't know. We'll see how it goes.
In terms of the album, you say you've got 9 tracks down. How many more to go, do you reckon? Are you going for 12 or 14 or thereabouts? Or?
Maybe. Well, I mean, because we're trying to finalise these 9 tracks, really, because we spent so much time in the studio, we haven't really had time to write kind of many more songs. We've got another 2 tracks we could do, but they've already been recorded previously.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just deciding whether we want to re-record those tracks.
Right.
Because, I mean, it was with different people and all, a different sound, and we thought we could put them with the actual CD, but it'll sound completely different.
Yeah.
It won't match the CD.
But of course,
at all.
I mean, you are changing anyway, aren't you? I mean, it's you're forming, and therefore the band is, as you bring the members in, it's bound to change. The influence will rub on you, and so the Ollie Brown we're talking to now is very different to the Ollie Brown if I'd spoken to you 6 months ago, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, and the recording was quite some time ago, so kind of voice is a bit squeakier.
Yeah. Okay, let's have one more track from the forthcoming album.
Okay, the song's called Been So Long.
Been so long since I've seen what you did to me. Been so long since I've seen what you did to me. Open all my eyes, realize that with you I shouldn't be. I'll take 2 steps forward. You made me take 3 steps back. I'll take 2 steps forward. You made me take 3 steps back. Now it's time for me to live and take this lonesome road out of here. Thank you. in the eye. Tell me what you did was all for me. Tell me what you did was all for me. I can see right through your lies, and you expect me to get down on my knees. Expect me to beg for your return. I got news for you, honey. Thanks. I'm gonna go your way.
Wonderful. Great, great sound. You're listening to the Ollie Brown Band on The Raven and the Blues. I hear that you've almost got everything sort of sorted out now, apart from a record label, is that right?
Yeah, well, we've had quite a few interests from a few different major record labels, but we're seeing what's happening right now, because we have only been playing for 12 weeks.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, we're trying to get used to each other still. We've connected pretty well, but we want to get used to each other a bit more,
yeah.
Write a few more songs and things, but we've had quite a few interests, and it's just trying to... It's trying not to jump the gun, really, because that's what can happen. If we get one now, then we'll be messed up for maybe other interests and things, so we're kind of waiting for more interests.
The history of rock and roll is full of bands who that first contract just screws them up for years afterwards, you know, that all the good money is lost to the record labels. I mean, it's got to the stage now, the way that the music is developing, especially the way the blues is developing across the world and things. Is it possible, do you think, to do it without a major label, like some of the other bands recently have done?
I don't know. I mean, I think we really want, you know, it'd be great to get signed, because then we can promote our music.
Yes.
But it's really about the live kind of feeling for us. We just really want to go around, kind of spread our name to people and kind of bring back kind of some kind of influence from the blues. And I mean, a label, it just would be a great thing to do. A major one would be even better. But it's really about kind of the live feeling that we have, and we love trying to make a big show out of it. We'll move around the stage and things.
I mean, one of the things you probably have found as you go and see various blues guys working blues bands and whatever is that the audience often is pretty old. And so there's been a big thing recently about trying to get young people back into the blues. And do you see yourself as some sort of kind of disciple on this, trying to lead them forward?
I don't know. I mean, it's interesting, because mostly the younger generation, when they think of blues, they think of kind of just 12 bar slow all the time. Mm. When really, I've made my friends listen to some blues, taken them to blues concerts, and they've loved it, and they love it, because it's not just that, it's just the whole feeling. I mean, it's hard to get kind of blues across in like a CD.
I think most people just think of blues as woke up this morning, you know, my wife's left me and the dog's died. So it is difficult to get across sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it'd be great to kind of get to a younger audience, but I mean, it's just one thing doing it, though.
Yes. And so the year, as it, you can see it planned out. Have you got a release date for the album? Is that sort of, is it all kind of vague?
Well, I think the release date has passed quite a few times already. But I mean, we've only been to the studio around 3 times.
Right.
It's been like a rough kind of layout of what's going to happen, maybe, because this is the CD is for selling and things, but it's also to kind of send out to record labels so they get an idea of what kind of originals we've been writing and things. And so they can kind of understand what kind of groove we're going for, what kind of sound, because it's a mix. It's not just straight on blues, because we're not trying to play straight blues. It's kind of mixing kind of different genres together. I mean, Fred, he's kind of a jazz funk player, so we've kind of got influence of jazz funk in some of the things.
Would I be right in thinking that Fred actually has already influenced you quite a bit since he joined the band, in a sense?
He has. I mean, ever since he's kind of talked about jazz and things, and they'll kind of, I like the melodies and things. I'm not becoming a jazz player.
No. Just on that last number, I could hear you sort of, I feel like, in rapport with Fred, in a sense, you know. And obviously, I think in some respects, he was kind of leading and you were following, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no. It's been, we've been pretty lucky, really, because we haven't known each other since we've got together and things, and we've got on, well, all right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes Fred has his moments. But no, we've gone on great, and you know, we've been teaching each other stuff. We've been kind of teaching each other's ideas and things. And
I was just saying, I've learned absolutely loads from Ollie just in the last couple of months. It's just been incredible.
Yeah, and it's like with Simon as well. It's kind of, we have been lucky because we just connect to each other already. Simon and Fred, they have been playing with each other for quite a long time before. They've been playing with some other band, and so they've been working together already.
Right.
But I mean, it's good because they have a good communications with each other. Yeah. So I mean, it's just a great feeling on stage.
What should we finish with? Are we going to finish with something up tempo or something slow and mellow?
The song is Empty Arms.
Me, little darling, the day that I'm gone. You're gonna miss me, little darling, the day that I'm gone. 'Cause I'm leaving in the morning, won't be back at all. You have run me ragged, honey, you're all for your own. You have run ragged, honey, you're all for your own. You didn't want me no way, baby, until that other man's gone.
The last 35 minutes, you've been listening to the Ollie Brown Band on BFBS Radio 2. Ollie, Fred and Simon, thank you so much.
Thank you, it was a pleasure.